The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your All Access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Welcome, everybody, to Bears All Access. Jim Miller here, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer. We've got plenty to get to and discuss over the next hour on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We will have Larry Mayer, who is the senior writer for ChicagoBears.com, who's going to join us in a few moments. Plus, we are going to throw out the number for our Ask Tom segment. Your chance to ask Tom any questions, 312-644-6767. We'll get into the now that the Bears have solidified their coaching staff. But, Tom, one, good to talk to you again, and I really wanted to start this program really saluting a legend. As we know, the news broke yesterday about the passing of Ed Sabol, who is 98 years old. He's the founder of NFL Films, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and, you know, he somewhat changed the way the game is viewed in the National Football League. And I just wanted to get your thoughts that you could share of maybe how it influenced you growing up, because I'll share a couple of my stories of how it influenced me, whether it's inside the NFL, and how it somewhat changed how we looked at the game and how Ed Sabol convinced Pete Rozelle, former NFL commissioner, on how he should film the game to, one, preserve its history, which was the most important.
You know, Jim, I'm glad you brought that up, because Ed Sabol in my generation, and I'm in my early 50s, so the whole process and the whole technology and everything that's been added to the NFL over the years in terms of the quality of tape, the way they watch it, the quickness they get it in their hands, the different camera angles, with all that, you know, taken into account. In the early years of filming the NFL, he was so innovative in some of the angles that he wanted to capture outside the game itself. And then you add the music to it. It did capture the attention of a young offensive lineman, because offensive linemen weren't being filled and filmed in highlight tapes. It was about the great catches and the great runs and the great run after an explosive contact and all those types of things. So for a guy to capture the mind of young kids and then cultivate it the entire time that you were growing up, and, you know, it's never peaked, because it continues to grow every year that the NFL has access to the NFL.
Well, there's no doubt it was so important to the growth of the league in general, and how it, you know, just the drama it brought the games. I remember as a kid, I'd always watch Inside the NFL with Nick Bonacani and Len Dawson, and you see all those clips set to music and, you know, a spiral in slow motion before a receiver caught it, or gladiators like yourself, the offensive linemen, and how they used to glorify the position, but yet they could be funny too when they added the bloopers. You know, there's so many bloopers reels that are out there about the National Football League, whether it's a fumbled snap, and it's somewhat humanized, I think, players, you know, as you watch these almost film-like features. It was somewhat art and watch them unfold.
But, you know, too, is back in the day, is whether it be Howard Cosell doing the halftime highlights of Monday Night Football, you know, you didn't see every game and all the action around the league. That's what you look forward to, is those highlights made by NFL Films that got you the attention of Earl Campbell when you didn't really necessarily get a chance to see him, or some of the hidden greatnesses of some of the players in the NFL that were more discovered because they captured something on tape that, you know, that sparked everybody's enjoyment.
And we always captured the narration and John Facenda. It's pretty interesting. I found a fun fact today of just how Vince Lombardi and George Halas knew the importance of NFL Films and what Ed Sabol was trying to do and what he was trying to produce, because longtime award-winning sports writer Ray Didinder, he was on the Sirius XM NFL radio today. He was a 14-year employee there at NFL Films, senior producer of all the productions. And believe it or not, they keep a statement by George Halas above the NFL Films vault. And it's a pretty cool statement that George Halas made. He called it the Keepers of the Flame. And Ed Sabol thought that was so important that he put it right up above the vault that carries all the history and tradition of all those films that the National Football League presents. So it tells you the impact, and even that George Halason and great names like Vince Lombardi saw the importance of preserving the history of the National Football League. Pretty odd fact that the Bears were even involved in that, Pat, and made their impact on NFL films as well.
You know, the Bears are involved in anything, everything in the NFL, and, you know, that's the most historic franchise in the NFL. And I was doing an event earlier today with Otis Wilson, and I was just thinking about the historic. You know, you talk about the Bears and the possibility of them changing to a 3-4 defense. In my whole life, I've known the Bears as a 4-man defensive line, so it would be a historical change. And the reason it's a historical change is because of the historical length of time that the Chicago Bears have been around the NFL, and it always starts with the name Halas. And, you know, that's why, you know, it captures my attention of change in this day. But again, you know, the whole league was started on Halas.
Well, 4-3, we've already had great linebackers in history of the NFL running those 4-3 defenses. Maybe even more could be added if the Bears do go to a 3-4 defense. Well, on the other side, Larry Mayer, senior sports writer for ChicagoBears.com, is going to join us. We'll break down as John Fox has really rounded out his coaching staff. So Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, we're just getting the party started. Stick with us on Bears All Access right after this. Zach Sadman on assignment, Jim Miller and Tom Thayer with you, and it's already been a busy offseason, so let's get right to it as we welcome in senior writer of ChicagoBears.com. And this segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Eat fresh, and John Fox has been busy rounding out his coaching staff, so let's check in with our special guest, Larry Mayer, to really get all the moves so far that John Fox has made as new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Larry, it's Jim and Tom. Good to talk to you again, and it's been a busy offseason already for the Chicago Bears. Thanks for joining us.
It absolutely has, and thanks for having me on 15 and 57. I really appreciate it, and you're right. Seems like every day when I'm at Halas Hall in my office, I run into a new coach and introduce myself, so there are a lot of new faces in play.
Larry, when you get a feel of the Bears, and I keep talking about it defensively, and maybe I'm making more of a deal out of it than anything, have the Bears committed to the fact that they are going to run a 34 defense, and from this point forward, that's the type of attachment to the personnel that's there and going to be there will ultimately have?
Tom, it's my understanding that they're still evaluating things like that. They're evaluating all the players on tape from last season. They're looking at what they have. They're also projecting what type of roles these players have played. But the short answer is no. Nothing has been official yet in terms of a 3-4. Obviously, as we know, Vic Fangio has been known for doing a 3-4 defense in several of his stops, including most recently in San Francisco. John Fox, however, has been known for a 4-3. So I think they're really going to take a look at the type of talent they have, what roles those people project in, and then go from there. And even if they do a 3-4, that doesn't mean they're not going to still run some 4-3 look. I think the key is really maximizing the ability of the players that you have.
Well, are we just jumping to conclusions as Bears fans then that when we see Clint Hurt is hired as the outside linebackers coach? They already have an inside linebackers coach. But, you know, like you said, are we just jumping to conclusions when we see those additions to the coaching staff?
I think a little bit, but with that being said, when you do hire an outside linebackers coach, I could see that there's a realization that you would assume that you are going to a 3-4. But like I said, they haven't made it official yet. But either way, even if they come out and say that they're going to do a 3-4, you're going to see sometimes when guys are lining up four down linemen and doing things from that. But Vic Fangio is a guy, and I don't think a lot's been made of this, but I think when you think about where the Bears are right now, guys, with some of the coaches they've hired, they were incredibly fortunate that guys like John Fox and Vic Fangio were available and that Denver and San Francisco chose to part ways with their coaches. Because when you're talking about experience and success, these guys are right at the top of the list in terms of guys that are in the NFL. We all know about John Fox and what he accomplished, one of six guys taking two different teams to the Super Bowl. And Vic Fangio is a guy that's been 28 seasons as an NFL assistant coach, including 15 as a defense coordinator. And in San Francisco, every year, I believe his defense is ranked in the top 10 in points and yards. So these aren't just regular Joes out there. These are excellent coaches that are coming in here.
You know what, too, Larry? I think that an important attachment to this coaching staff is keeping Coach Groh on the offensive side of the football with the wide receivers and Hurt on the defensive side of the ball, because you're going to have an instant evaluation of every player by eyesight and experience. And I think keeping those two guys in the mix was an important part of the completion and the put together of this staff.
Yeah, you know, I know they're very high on Clint Hurt. He comes with a good reputation. He was down at the University of Miami. and also Louisville. I remember him talking to Teddy Bridgewater before we played the Vikings. But he's a guy that I know a lot of the players respect, as is Mike Groh. And Mike Groh has some interesting guys, obviously, as we all know, in the wide receivers room. He kept that position contributing even this past season when some injuries affected Brandon Marshall. But, you know, Brandon Marshall and Alshon had the last couple of years had historically great seasons, making the Pro Bowl together 2 years ago.
Well, what does that say to you then about John Fox as a head coach, that he's comfortable in his own skin to realize, hey, if it's not broke, let's not fix it? When you look at the success of Mike Groh or elevating Clint Hurt to outside linebackers coach, you know, about the head coach and his experience when you look at John Fox retaining coaches.
John Fox, sorry to interrupt you, Jim. Like I said before, John Fox, you get the feeling, been there, done that. He's not trying to impress anybody. He knows exactly what he's doing and exactly what he wants. If he wants to hire someone from the previous coaching staff, he's going to. If he doesn't want to do that, he's going to do that as well. He knows the guys that he wants on his staff. He's brought over a couple guys from Denver, as we all know, especially with Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator, Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator, Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach. Those are just three right off the top of my head. But he has brought guys that have been successful. And I think that John Fox is the only in NFL history to win four straight division titles and then lose his job.
And the case of Adam Gase, a young offensive coordinator, bright mind, how do you think the impact on him only being the guy on the sidelines calling the play? It's not any interjection from the quarterback like Peyton Manning, but it is the mind that is conceptualizing the idea of this offense.
Well, you know, I like the whole setup and the structure in that John Fox is the head coach. He's not going to be calling the plays. He's going to let his coordinators do that. He's going to manage the game as a head coach, and I like that. Nothing against previous guys that have done both, but I think it's a lot better setup. And Adam Gase is a guy, and everyone I've talked to has been extremely high and talking about how confident he is in terms of dealing with players. And as we know, he's dealt with players before, like Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler in Denver, knows what he wants to do. I think he wants to prove himself. A lot of people thought his success was with Peyton Manning, but the last couple of years, the Denver Broncos were excellent, and they could run the ball too. So I don't think it's just a Peyton Manning thing. And if Peyton Manning signs off on him, and he has, and he's given him a big endorsement, I think that's really good enough for me.
Well, it's not only the Bears that are making some adjustment and rounding out their coaching staff. Larry, I wondered if you were keeping your eye on the enemy, as news came out of Green Bay that potentially Mike McCarthy may not be calling plays anymore. Tom Clements would be elevated to assistant head coach. Former Bear Edgar Bennett and former Green Bay Packer could be elevated to the offensive coordinator position. And just keeping your eye on the enemy, do you make anything of that? Because Mike McCarthy's been a great play caller up there for Aaron Rodgers.
He has. I mean, I know he came under some criticism in the playoff game for not attacking Richard Sherman after he was injured. And defensively, they came under some criticism for not having a safety back on the game-winning touchdown pass. But, I mean, what can you say about Mike McCarthy? Look at the success that he's had with the different quarterbacks up there in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, they're two great players, but it's the old chicken and the egg argument. I mean, Mike McCarthy is a huge reason why they've been successful, so I don't know a lot about what's going on up there. I'm focusing more on all the changes that we've made down here. But I think any changes would really be good, especially considering the Bears have lost 9 out of 10 to the
Packers. Well, personally, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I've won two league MVPs, yeah, I'm like, say what? You're not calling plays anymore?
Right.
Well, Jim, do you think that decreases the pressure on Mike McCarthy and increases the pressure on Tom Clements? Because they know they do have a track record of success with McCarthy handling everything. Now, if they have a deficiency in any one offensive area, I think it'll change, make a dynamic a little bit more uncomfortable up there.
I think you stick with what got you
yes.
there. And I think Larry brings up a good point. Everybody's questioning Mike McCarthy and being conservative out there in the great Northwest, that he didn't go for it on a couple of fourth downs. But Larry and Tom, you guys know this. Even if you're the play caller, that delegation comes from the head coach anyway, whether you decide to go for it or not go for it on fourth down. So either way, he's going to have to make that decision as the head coach. Do you both agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, like I said before, I like the structure where the head coach, this is just generally speaking, not really impacting Green Bay, but just where the head coach can be the head coach and you have your coordinators calling the plays. I know they came under criticism, like I said, for not attacking Richard Sherman, not even throwing a ball on the flat to see if he could make a tackle, because he was clearly playing with one arm. But you could also say that's got to be one of the coaches up in the booth has to recognize that as well.
No doubt about it. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, I just think you got to keep a strong dynamic of Aaron Rodgers on that football team. And does he have any say in it, Hopefully not. And I don't realize that. I don't think, why would Mike McCarthy take away something that I think that the quarterback coach combination in Green Bay is one of the strongest in the league.
No doubt.
Right. We obviously don't know the inside story up there, whether Mike McCarthy is the one that wants to not call the plays or if someone's pressuring him into that. But it would seem a little strange with the success they've had to change that.
Hey, Larry, I have one quick question for you, because I think one of the importance lost in the whole mix of hiring a head coach with the Bears is the importance of the special teams and the performance from what they happened to him last year and what's expected out of him this year. Even, you don't want Rodgers as the new special team coach. You don't want to lose sight of the importance of that fact. It's not just offense, defense. They need to get back on track and have some of those big moments on special teams.
Absolutely. And, Tom, everybody talks about complimentary football, and everybody, you hear some criticism about Jay Cutler. But from 2010 to 2012, Jay Cutler was 27-13 as a starter with the Bears. And a lot of that had to do with how well the defense and special teams were playing. And you're right, they need to get better at special teams. I think they showed a little progress late in the season. They had a lot of new faces in their rotating every week, where the Bears would change the bottom of the roster. Really didn't have anyone step up in terms of an individual. Everybody knew Sherrick McManus was going to be a guy. But I think what they need to do is just stick with a couple of young linebackers, get those guys developing in there as special teams guys. And like I said, they started to play better late in the season, but it was a huge letdown in terms of the way the special teams performed last season.
Well, Larry, last one before we let you go. Appreciate your time. No, they just rounded out the staff with Rick Perry. Comes from the college ranks for assistant strength and conditioning for the Bears. Do you get any sense from the coaches of what they're, what they turned the page to next? Is it building the playbooks on the offense and defensive side of the ball? Like you mentioned, diving in the roster. But if you talk to the coaches of what is their next focus now that the staff is rounded out?
Yeah, well, I think the focus remains on evaluating the roster as it is right now. I know they have some free agents potentially coming up. They have some older veterans like Lance Briggs and Charles Tillman. They also have some younger guys like Steven Paya that are going to become free agents. And I think they just need to know exactly what they have on the roster moving forward. And then doubling with that is that the combine's next week. So they're going to be heading down to Indianapolis, taking a look at the young rookies to be. The Bears have talked about, Ryan Pace has talked about it at an introductory press conference, about building through the draft and how to sustain success is building through the draft. The Bears have 6 draft picks going in without no pick in the 5th round this year, so they need to make the most of those and maybe trade down and get a couple extras. But so it's kind of a dual purpose right now in terms of evaluating the roster and preparing for the combine.
Well, no draft is complete without the mock draft, because everybody's already got the Bears selecting Danny Shelton. Zero technique out there at Washington. Larry, always appreciate the hard work and your time, my friend. Thanks for joining us on Bears
All Access.
Thanks, Larry.
Larry Mayer, senior writer of ChicagoBears.com. When we come back, we're already going to open it up to Ask Tom. 312-644-6767. Plus, we've got plenty more to get to on Bears All Access. Stick with us right here. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Bears All Access. Hey everyone, the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears. It's a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petruni and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. Zach Sadman is on assignment. Jim Miller and Tom Thayer with you, and we are going to open up the phone lines for Ask Tom. 312-644-6767. Your chance to win a gift certificate to the Sports Authority. So, Tom, let's get right to him. Let's go out to Alan, who's joining us from Morton Grove. What's up, Alan?
How you doing, Alan?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking this call. I'm a first-time caller, and this is an honor. The question is for Tom. Tom, how has your guard and center position changed since you played in a modern, pass-centric NFL?
In our offense, we are specific point of attack offense. Our offense was designed to create an impact in the defense and then allow Walter or Neil Anderson, Matsui, and the guys just be the running back, the athlete they are. Nowadays, they use the word zone. So it doesn't have a defined point of attack like our offense. It's hopefully going to go to an impacted area, but if it all breaks down and the defense flows to a certain position, you do have a backside opportunity. In Oh, I have a conflict in that because we were more determined to have an impact in a specific and exact design to every offensive play we ran. Now there's kind of an incorporated view that there can be some failure in the play, but it still can be successful if you cut it backside. And it's a hard view for me to accept because we are much more of specific attack type team.
Well, let me follow up on that for Alan Tom. So you were more of a man team where you had a specific guy you were blocking. You see so many offenses today that incorporate both a man in a zone scheme. Maybe just touch on
that
a little
bit. The thing about it is, Jim, there's a zone type scheme because if you play a heavy front where you have eight guys on the line of scrimmage, you know, you have to have a bailout opportunity. Where we didn't accept that, we said that if we have a slant 45 and it's a four back through the five hole, that five hole is going to be created at least 2.5 yards, and Walter Payton will get more after that. We're only looking to get 4 yards a carry every single time we carry the ball. It's not like you're developing a play that's going to score a touchdown every time. It can if it's blocked perfectly. However, we face so many eight-man fronts because of the greatness of Walter Payton. They always put more people on the line of scrimmage to stop them. So you couldn't have a backside to run to because you were running to a backside unblocked tackler. So we created a frontside impact zone, and that's why you see the highlight tapes of Walter Payton because of his greatness at that 2.5 to 3 yard impact zone is why he became the greatest player he is.
Well, you guys were maulers up front. I think anybody will take 4 yards a carry every single time and twice on Sunday. Let's go out to Chris, who's calling us from Midway. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good. It's great to hear Bears talk by two former greats.
Thank you.
My question, Tom, is if we don't know what kind of defense we're running, how do we draft for that? And how do we better our special teams? Is that through the draft or through free agency? How can you do both?
That's a good question, Chris, and that's kind of why I asked Larry Mayer, who was just on with us, if they have made a determination. Maybe they have behind closed doors, and now they're doing an evaluation of the talent. I think they probably know a little bit more than they're letting us know, because it's just like poker. You don't want to play your hand. You don't want to give a factor out there that the teams that drafting a little bit in front of you or behind you know exactly what you're looking for. So I think it's good to keep everybody in the dark, but I got to believe Ryan Pace and Coach John Fox and the defensive staff, they have an understanding of what they're going to attempt to do.
Let's go out to Pete, who's joining us from Mantino. Pete, you're up on Bears All Access.
Hey, Pete.
What's up, guys? Tom, Jim, man, that's so cool. I'm on the air talking with you guys.
Go ahead, buddy. What's your question?
Hey, I just one thing, you just brought up a name not too long ago. You said Matt Sui, and I know Walter Payton is. I mean, Walter Payton's Walter Payton. He's the best ever. But Matt Sui was kind of always the unsung hero, and I just wanted you to talk to folks about him for a minute. And real quick, how much fun was it to sit there and watch that defense just destroy people? You were right there on the sidelines. You had to be a big fan of that too, huh?
That's why you never sat down, because you wanted to watch the defense the whole time, because there was greatness taking place every game you played, whether it be a quarterback that didn't want to face him, or it was a running back that was scared to go to the line of scrimmage, or a tight end that was a little bit worried about one of the safeties lighting them up while they jumped across the middle. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity to be able to and to sit there and watch that defense. What was the – remind me of the first part of the question.
You're there, Pete. Well, here, he talked about the great running backs in Bears history. He specifically wanted to talk about Matt Sui.
Oh, yeah, Matt. Yeah, exactly. Good, thank you. Matt Sui and Roland Harper. I think you got to use both their names in the same sentence when you're talking about Walter Payton throughout his career, because both of those fullbacks, they paid for their position. Fullback was an impactful position, and every once in a while you got to carry. You might catch a couple passes throughout a couple game series, but it was about an impact, a big-time collision between a linebacker, a defensive player that you were going to have to try to set Walter Payton free. And the commitment to football by Roland Harper and Matt Sui, it should be talked about in Walter's career, because I think it all goes hand in hand when you're talking about a tailback at that time that had the greatness of Walter Payton.
One quick question for me in our Ask Tom segment would be about, I mean, think about the D lineman you had to go up against every day in practice. And he was, you know, you think of Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, and how those guys, probably nobody wanted to face that defense on Sundays. I mean, how are you guys getting after it in practice, Tom?
That's what I
would like to see.
You know, I think first of all, the competitiveness between Coach Ditka and Buddy Ryan, it had us going live every single day. But I do think that the practices on Wednesday and Thursday were so hard that it made the games a lot easier on Sunday. And again, talking with Otis Wilson today, we were talking about that. You never faced anybody better than Hampton, McMichael, Fridge, and Richard Dent, and the whole crew of guys. You can't say one without saying all 11. So it was an awesome opportunity to practice against those guys.
312-644-6767. We'll keep the Ask Tom segment open in the next segment. But right now, let's go out to Sean, who's joining us. What do you got to ask Tom, Sean?
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jim. My question for you guys is, with Cutler more likely coming back as our quarterback, do you think that he will have any say-so in regards to keeping Marshall on the team, or do you think it'll primarily be Pace's and Fox's ultimate decision?
I think it's about production. It's about their initial reaction towards you when they start getting involved in OTAs and the workouts and the meetings, and they kind of it is a feeling out program. But you know, they have enough of an understanding of what Brandon Marshall is about and what his willingness to do and the efforts he puts on the field. So there's no decision that's going to be made by a player. Every decision made is going to be by the assistant coaches to the head coach to the GM.
Appreciate the phone call, Sean. We'll keep open the Ask Tom segment. Hop on board. 312-644-6767. Stick with us right here on Bears All Access. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, and Furniture. We're going to keep open our Ask Tom segment. You can hop on board, 312-644-6767. Jim Miller and the 85 World Champ, Tom Thayer, with you. And so, Tom, let's get right to the phone lines again as they have an opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Let's go to Don, who's calling us from the South Side.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Tom. I was wondering what's your thoughts on Kyle Long maybe switching to the tackle position.
Man, you know what? Everybody asks that. I certainly think he has the athleticism and the ability to do so. But I look at his strength and what he can do on the interior. Not only can he protect the center to have an extra second of protection so he can get a safe snap and then get into his block. And then he's got incredible width not only to help the center but also help the tackle and make that side longer. So, you know, I would be a little reluctant to move him right now because you're going right into new terminology, new system, and obviously not a lot of new fundamentals and techniques that the new offensive line coach will teach. And Kyle is so raw. So I think you can use his immediate dominance on the inside of this offense, and he can do a lot more things, trapping, pulling, a personal protector for the quarterback, when you do so many three-step drops and short protections.
Well, great question so far, and you can hop on board 312-644-6767 to ask Tom. And how difficult of a transition would that be for Kyle Long? Here you're lining up in a right-handed stance as a right guard. Now to switch over to the left side, the footwork, everything's somewhat opposite. Maybe just touch on that, Tom, for such a young player who's talented enough, no doubt, in terms of athleticism, but how difficult would it
right.
be?
Right. You know, Jim, the thing about it is when you go to right to left side, you seem to have a certain hesitancy in your balance, in the confidence in your balance. So if you're moving abruptly to your left and you don't have the same coordination that you do because you've done it so many times to your right side, if a defensive lineman can be strong enough or play with enough length where he can hit you at that perfect time, he can take you completely out of the play. So it's all about making sure that you have confidence within your balance, whether it's in an impact position in the run game or when you're trying to come to balance on the pass protection game. Because you don't know how difficult it is to chop your feet with consistency backwards and have enough of a punch forward that you don't lose your balance. So there's like 1,000 things you think about. But again, Kyle does have the athleticism to do it. It just has to become second nature because it's something that needs to be repetitiously done.
Well, you've talked glowingly about Jermon Bushrod and what he brings as a left tackle. And let's face it, if Kyle Long was moved over there. You're facing every week that's the best pass rusher. Think about in division, Ziggy Ansah. You got Clay Matthews up there for the Green Bay Packers. And maybe just touch on that, because Jermon Bushrod, I would have, not probably last year, but the year prior, I thought he had a Pro Bowl caliber year.
And I think Jermon is a Pro Bowl caliber player, but you have to allow him to be the aggressor. And I think that's the entire run game and play action pass game. You will have to allow him to attack the defensive lineman and immediately come the aggressor to gain a winning position with more immediacy. And I think Jermon can do that. And I think he's got really clever feet that he can come back inside and either help with the offensive guard or help with the tight end if they're in some confusing type outside rush. But again, with this entire offensive line, when you look at the weight room strength of Roberto Garza, he's one of the strongest guys in all of the NFL. But you have to allow him to use his strength, and that's being aggressive at the line of scrimmage. And one of the most disappointing things to me, being an ex-offensive lineman, is how passive the offensive line was last year and how much time they spent in a two-point stance where it makes you raise up a little bit higher and you do lose a little bit of your leverage. So I'm excited about the next step forward this offensive line is going to take.
Do you think that's first things first for Adam Gase? Because they were mushing the football pretty well, especially the second half of the season with C.J. Anderson. Do you think it'll be a more power running the football type of team, what Adam Gase is going to bring as the offensive coordinator to the Chicago Bears?
You know, Jim, it's almost like a mentality you have to achieve. You can't go out there and go through a practice that every period you end up throwing the ball 65 times in a practice and you run it 14. You're never going to achieve the mentality that way. You have to go into some down and dirty 9-on-7 periods, which takes the first offensive line against the first and second defensive line, and it's an interior run game that has some big collisions and chopping of your feet and developing a hole and allowing Matt Forte and the rest of the running backs to gain a familiarity with the offensive line. That's what it's about. It's gaining that mentality. It's never just going to be handed to you, especially that run game mentality that you need at week 16 just like you do week 1.
Well, before we hit the next break, let's close our Ask Tom segment. And I got to believe I'm going with Morton Grove. Alan has won a gift certificate. He asked about
right out of the box.
Yeah, right out the box. You talked about the changes at the guard and center position. So he wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Appreciate all the callers that called in tonight. Tremendous questions. So let's hit this break. On the other side, Tom, I want to get into the challenges. Here, Larry Mayer talked about them moving on to the combine next week, but what about playbooks? You look at John Fox, they get an extra mini camp to install both what they're going to do offensively and defensively. So we'll dive into that on the other side. Stick with us right here on Bears All Access. Hit the beach with your favorite Chicago Bears players. Travel to Costa Rica with Patrick O'Donnell, Willie Young, Kyle Fuller, and other Bears players this March. Visit applevacations.com/bears for more information. Jim Miller and 85 world champ Tom Thayer with you. And, you know, Larry Mayer, who's a senior writer for ChicagoBears.com, was on earlier talking about that they will start to move the focus to next week's combine. And there's always so many variables that are ongoing in the offseason for every NFL team. And here I mentioned right before the break there, they're trying to put their schemes together, whether it's going to be a 3-4, 4-3, trying to get all those playbooks together, offensive, defensively, to distribute to the players as the draft is just around the corner. And both personnel departments, Tom, are going hard at work, not only from the free agency side of it, when you look at the pro player personnel department of the Chicago Bears, but you would say the college personnel department, because again, there's going to be, right now, there's about 80 underclassmen that are declaring for the NFL draft. So they've got to be doing a lot of homework within those personnel departments as the combine is just next week to prepare for these players that will be available in the 2015 NFL draft.
Right. You know, the amazing thing about it is after the Super Bowl was over, they talked a lot about where were the value of these athletes when they were growing up. And they didn't have five-star athletes on their team that were rated out of high school and college. They had a bunch of other guys that made their way to the NFL by some tough times and some trials that they had to overcome and persevere and show they were ready. So it seems like when we're getting ready to look at the draft and the future of the Bears, it doesn't lie with that seventh pick it makes sure that they have to have success on every pick in some way, shape, or form, that then they have to have a couple of those guys that they get in the later rounds that develop into Pro Bowl potential type players. You know, Jim, they don't have the luxury of missing in draft, in free agency, and what you're going to try to attract after the draft is over. So it is an incredible opportunity of exploration of talent for Ryan Pace and his whole crew, because you're not going to be able to leave any stone unturned. Nobody out there is playing at a school that's too small or played in a program that's not big enough. You have to look at what their value is in the future according to the plan of attack for the Chicago Bears.
And I'm going to throw out some dates for the Chicago Bears fans that are out there. Starting February 16th, teams can begin using the franchise or transition tags, and then February 17th through the 23rd, the NFL Scouting Combine takes place in Indianapolis. And really, it all gets started March 7th is the tampering window opens from the pro player side of things, where teams can legally tamper in terms of free agency. And then March 10th, the new league year begins, and a free agency will kick off at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and culminating all the way up to the draft as they dive into all these potential draft picks who could add to the schemes of the Chicago Bears. And let me just add this time, because you look at John Fox being a new head coach for the Chicago Bears, they get the benefit of getting that extra mini camp. They get more time where they're hands-on with the players, because you think about young players like Kyle Fuller. They've actually got to scrap most of what they've learned, what could be in an old scheme. Maybe just talk about that, because it's not like it used to be when you and I, they could be hands-on pretty much all year round, and that's really not the case anymore, but at least the Bears do get the benefit of that extra mini camp.
I mean, all the guys, they're going to have to kind of, you know, in terms of the terminology, everything, you're going to have to forget what you learned, but there's going to be some association to the old terminology that will fit in with the new terminology, and that's the way you go about thinking. But everything in football is so repetitiously done on the offensive side of the football. You remember all those phrases that your coach has constantly said to you every time they are trying to make a coaching remark. It's just something that you have to file in the back of your head and see what the things that you did in your past that were really helpful to you in your future. And that's the same thing defensively. You had so many techniques yelled to you time in and time out, especially as fragile as the cornerback position is in a guy like Kyle Fuller. It almost is a reinvention of yourself in the second year, but he has great ability. And I think those are the qualities why he was drafted in the first round, because he showed that he could convert from a high college player to a first-time starting pro and be able to go along with the format they're asking of him. So it is. It's going to be a challenge, but every year it's a challenge because something new is going to happen.
Well, talk about it from your perspective as a player compared to these players today. As I mentioned, back then you could be more hands-on with the players. A lot of these players now go outside the building in terms of their training and things of that nature. And, again, at least John Fox has the benefit in year one with extra hands-on time dedicated to really lay the foundation for what he wants to do. But in terms of a player developing in modern day NFL compared to what it used to be in the past,
you know, in the off season, you know, you have to, it's on the constant pursuit of being stronger, being more fit, being more ready. So when you start the season and you're asked to be there every single day, you have the ability to be there every day. And I think that's what a lot of the older guys that are around the NFL a little bit more, they have a significant amount of free time, but they take that free time and they turn it into value time. But I think that's a key ingredient to make yourself have the opportunity for a long, successful career. The key element here for every one of these guys is going to be in the mental aspect. Do they invest themselves in the playbook that they put before you offensively and defensively? That's the quickest thing that's going to get you cut. If you're not up to the mental aspect of making sure you know everything, you can't do your job. So that's going to be the key ingredient here with the extra time that you have your iPad in front of you, is make sure you invested in the mental aspect of the game.
Well, Tom, let's hit the last break. When we come back, I want to take a trip around the NFC North. What's Detroit doing with Ndamukong Suh? We somewhat touched on the Packers and play calling changes up there in Green Bay, but we'll get a little bit more around the NFC North. Stick with us right here on Bears All Access. Welcome back to Bears All Access. And last segment here, we want to take you a little trip around the NFC North because we somewhat already touched on the Green Bay Packers, Tom, and if there will be a change in terms of play calling duties from Mike McCarthy. Maybe Tom Clements is elevated to assistant head coach and he will have those duties moving forward. But got to touch on the Detroit Lions situation. I looked up today, they currently only have one defensive tackle under contract, and that's last year's draft pick, Caron Reed, out of Princeton. Ivy Leaguers. So Andre Flewellen, C.J. Mosley, Nick Fairley, and then Ndamukong Suh. They could all hit the market March 10th. Recently, the general manager, Martin Mayhew, talked about, hey, we could place the franchise tag on Ndamukong Suh. That will cost the Detroit Lions basically $27 million to retain Sue's services. So, one, your thoughts on Ndamukong Suh, because there are few teams that really have the salary cap to get that talented defensive tackle under contract for Detroit.
I think Ndamukong Suh is a heck of a football player. I really do. I think he's got some hidden strength, and I think that he's a dominator on the inside. I thought I heard today that Haloti Ngata may choose to be a free agent, and I thought Stephen Pye with the Chicago. So when you're talking about the defensive tackle position, Jim, I think it's a position, if you make a money commitment to it, you may be able to rebuild within a year, at least get that first line of defense that you're going to put out there and get some talent. So, you know, if there's a big belief if you can go within your division and weaken your opponent and strengthen your team at the same time, that's the kind of deal that you could get done with an Ndamukong Suh. You know, my question to you, as I would like to know, is when you look at the quarterback position of the division, are the Bears fourth right now? Or, you know, where are they at the quarterback position? That's one of my concerns going forward, and maybe that we could talk about a little bit more next week. And I would like to see how you would rate the quarterback position in this division 1 through 4.
Well, I think right now you would say Rodgers 1, Stafford 2, and I would still put Jay Cutler 3 due to the experience over Teddy Bridgewater. But that is a talented young quarterback up in Minnesota that is really going to give a lot of teams fits moving forward. Very impressive rookie season for Teddy Bridgewater. His poise, his quiet leadership, all the things involved. And that brings me to the Minnesota Vikings. They've been flying under the radar,
yes,
Tom, but they may get Adrian Peterson back in the mix. He's hoping his counseling, he will get reinstated in March. So that's something for Bears fans to keep their eye on as well. Well, we'll save the quarterback talk for next week, Tom. Always appreciate you teaming up with you here on Bears All Access. And thank all the callers out there, including Alan, who won the gift certificate to Sports Authority. Until next week, thanks for joining us, everybody, on Bears All Access.
Listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.